Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, so many more outrages about this coronavirus lockdown and the absolute absurdity of it. Here's a question for you. How many people died in Hong Kong of the coronavirus? You know, Hong Kong is right next door to communist China, which is the major source of the coronavirus. What would you think? You know, maybe 10,000, 1,000, 1,500, 100? This is from today's National Post. Lockdown Canadians may be surprised to learn that in Hong Kong, with a population of 7.5 million and in close proximity to the source of the outbreak in China, only four people have died of the Wuhan flu or the coronavirus. Canada has suffered nearly 3,000 deaths by the end of April. And China is not, Hong Kong is not in complete lockdown or anything like that. In fact, just the opposite. During the 2003 outbreak of SARS, nearly two-fifths of the deaths happened in Hong Kong. And that crisis has been seared into the memory of the people there. People wear masks at the slightest hint of a cold or flu, and they are quick to adopt physical distancing measures when a new outbreak is reported. In fact, they haven't shut down the cafes. They haven't shut down the restaurants. Life in many ways goes on as usual. That people are encouraged, if they can, to work from home. They avoid large gatherings, but that doesn't mean they can't go to a restaurant. And they wear the mask. Now, up until only maybe 2-3 weeks ago, the official line from our Sino, that's Communist China-friendly government, and our chief medical officer of health, Dr. Theresa Tam, and the trust fund kid, our prime minister, was masks don't do a lot of good. But they always state things in a way that's so extreme that nothing could actually live up to it. So masks do not give you complete protection. That's true. They don't. They're not 100%. In fact, masks really protect others from you, and maybe give you some protection from that. So wearing masks was a good idea. There are now people beginning to think that, scholars and even a few politicians, that this big lockdown that we've seen in Canada, the United States, France, Britain, Italy, and Canada, of course, is not the way to go. It's been absolutely ruinous for the economy, and it doesn't produce the results. There are several pressure points. One of them, in another country like Sweden, which has not gone for the full lockdown, one of them is what might be loosely called old folks' homes or extended care facilities. And the problem is they're dirty. The patients are crowded together. Often the support staff are third worlders, low paid, and maybe even named with the best of intentions. Some maybe not with the best of intentions, but they're overworked. In Canada, they were, in many cases, not given the necessary protective gear. And they often work at several institutions. They can't get enough hours at extended care home A, so they have to work some hours at B and C. But you can see what's happening. Many of the older folks are 2, 3, even 4 to a room. Never mind coronavirus, even a normal cold or flu is going to spread like wildfire. So it's no wonder. But this is where common sense, and it's as I'll be telling you in a couple of other instances in the show, common sense is not common, and it's in very, very short supply. That's where common sense ought to kick in. Okay, older people who are already ill are very vulnerable. Well, they should be protected. That might mean, and this would be a big expense, but it'd be a lot less expensive than shutting down the economy, rebuild some of those old folks' homes. Even if they have to be rebuilt almost like barracks until more permanent structures can be rebuilt, can be built, so that every person has a room to himself or herself. That's a beginning. Then upgrade the staff. Give them the proper protective tools. Already in Ontario, there's been a regulation passed that they're only able to work in one place at a time. Only one place. So if they work at extended care institution A, they can't work 2 days a week over at B or C. That'll help. And there are other measures as well. Put the necessary resources to give whatever protection we can to those older people. And other individuals who are vulnerable, then zero in on them. You know, if you already have an immune system that's compromised, if you are massively overweight and you have diabetes and heart condition and you're only 24, you ought to take very, very strict steps to protect yourself, because should you get the coronavirus, you might well become very seriously ill, perhaps even die. I don't mean to suggest a system of triage or to suggest that anybody's life is not valuable, but you don't protect one group of people by quarantining the rest. In fact, I saw a very clever little statement a week or two ago on the internet. A quarantine occurs when you isolate sick people. A lockdown occurs when you lock down healthy people. That's tyranny, and that's exactly what it is. Okay, today's outrageous. I have a few from yesterday, but we'll start with today. I had cause to go to a post office out here in the Okanagan, here in the middle of beautiful British Columbia. Okay, it's a little post office, a small village, and there's an entryway, or foyer you might call it, where there are some P.O. boxes. And then you go through a door, and that's where you get served at the counter. So I go through the little entryway open the door to go in, and some blustery female behind the counter says, "You have to leave. You have to get back till we're finished with this customer." Well, the customer standing in front of her was, I would say, at least 15, maybe even 20 feet from me. So, well outside the 6 feet. So, why that rule? Oh, who knows? Opportunity to boss people around. So I give her a face that would have scared a rampaging elephant. And I slouch and I let her know from my body language, I am not impressed. So it's finally my turn. And I think they deliberately spend some more time gabbing and so on. Finally, it's my turn. And I come in, I tell her what I want, and I don't thank her. I just grab my stamps and leave, and slam my assorted envelopes on the desk outside as I put the stamps on. I do not believe in being polite to tyranny. That type of... she either doesn't know the rules, in which case she ought to keep her mouth shut, or she does know the rules and just doesn't. It's a great opportunity to boss people around. In things big and small, don't forget the operative guideline is to avoid crowd situations and to keep 6 foot distance wherever you can from other people. Okay, you know, I can live with that. I can go for that. I don't need to be micromanaged. Okay. Well, now I go a little further into town, and I go to a liquor store. No, I'm not buying liquor. I'm bringing back some bottles I wasn't able to return on my last visit because they weren't taking them that day. I have a shopping bag full of empty wine bottles, which I, being a dutiful and environmentally conscious citizen, I want to return to the bottle exchange, where you hand in your empties and they recycling. So anyway, they give you 10, I think it's 10 cents for each bottle. Okay. Well, I see an employee from the BC Liquor Store. He's out on the sidewalk. I don't know what he's doing there. Well, I do not know what he's doing there. He's gabbing with two other people. And they're not 6 feet apart. Not that I'm judging, but okay. They're having a good old time, and he sees me with my plastic bag full of empties. He says, "We're not taking them." Oh, I say, "Why? Coronavirus." Oh, I see. Well, I say, "Bullshit. That doesn't explain anything." And that's the way you've got to come back at these tyrants. It is bullshit. I'll tell you why. What's the procedure? Don't forget, the idea is not to get closer than 6 feet to another person, okay? And obviously not to touch them and so on. So returning bottles does not mean kissing the person, the employee of the liquor store, or embracing them, or giving them a big old hug or handshake. What it involves is I take my bottles out of a plastic bag and I put them on a counter, and make sure, and the British call me that if they're screw caps, the screw cap lid's taken off, and then I step back, and he or she would step up to the counter, count out my bottles, and toss them into a big bin, and this person, of course, would be wearing gloves, and then calculate what I'm getting. You know, it might be 70 cents, if it's seven balls, or 80 cents, you know, my big fortune for the day, and pass the coins over to me, and I leave. Okay. Do you see any violation of the 6 foot rule? No, I don't. This is number one, laziness. Number two, it is the rapid reduction of service and the treating of the of citizens as second class citizens. It's just bad service. Okay, so I drive to another village, and I had not gotten quite enough postage at the first place. Go to another post office, I get to the counter, and another grim female looks at me. I place my order. I'm told, I forget what it is, $20, let's say, and I take out some cash. "We're not accepting cash." Oh, I see. Well, you've got to accept cash. It is legal tender currency of the realm. It's legal tender in Canada for the settlement of bills and obligations. You can't not accept it. You might have the right not to accept Russian rubles. You might certainly have the right to not accept even American dollars or euros or whatever, but you cannot refuse to accept Canadian currency. Well, we're not accepting it. I said, "Well, what if I didn't have a credit card or a debit card?" "Well, you'd have to go elsewhere." I said, "Where elsewhere? You've got a monopoly." "It's the post office." "Well, you could get them at," I think she said, "the Walmart." "Oh, actually, I have to go to the Walmart." As a matter of fact, I did have a debit card and a credit card. But that's not the point. And I keep telling her, "You can't refuse." "Well, she's trying to take the stamps back from me." So I slam my debit card into the stupid little machine and pay. And as I leave, and I take a good deal of time leaving, I go, "Bah, bah, bah." They were right angry at me. I'm good. I'm sick of tyranny. I told her that. I'm sick of being pushed around. I'm sick of you breaking the law of the country. "Well, I'm taking a risk serving you." I said, "I'm taking a risk coming out here to be served." You know, suck it up. You know, if you don't want the job, go home and be a snowflake. I didn't say we could go home to be snowflake. But, you know, if more people did that, the time has come to shove back, push back, don't put up with bullshit. Okay. I went further up the road to another BC liquor store. I thought, well, maybe it's just these clowns at this other town. Well, now there's a sheep lineup in front of there. That's right. You know, they're only letting a couple of people in this big, cavernous liquor store. Well, why the limits? Who knows? Oh, I know. Coronavirus. Coronavirus. That will be the excuse for everything. Coronavirus. Okay, so there's a guard lady. She's making sure all the sheep, you know, stay in there 6 feet apart until it's this sheep's turn to come in. And I thought, well, before I join the sheep line, I will just call out to her and ask her, are you accepting bottles for recycling? No, she says. I said, why not? Minister of Health said. I mean, I don't know whether the provincial minister of health said that or not. So I said, this is total bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Bad service to the customers, and so on. And I hope more and more people will start doing that. In fact, if I knew where the minister is, or the chief bureaucrat responsible for this order lived, I think people should go there and dump empties by the caseload on his front lot. I said, well, what am I supposed to do with these? Take them home. I said, I'm on the storage business. I thought we were supposed to be recycling. Well, you know, you don't get any further answer. But you've got to push back. I suggest challenge anything that doesn't make sense to you. Now, I don't mean challenge everything. But if it doesn't make sense to you, don't let that old excuse, coronavirus, fly. I'll tell you why. Coronavirus is a way of shutting you up, making you accept any abuse, just the way many centuries ago, people would be told, well, something bad has happened. Oh, it's the will of God. Well, I don't want to mock anybody's religious beliefs, but I'm sure a lot of people were induced to accept the unacceptable by being told it's the will of God. Not entirely sure that would have been the case. That was the will of God. Coronavirus is an excuse for mistreating people, restricting people, bossing people around, and just plain dreadful service. I was on three flights on Air Canada yesterday, traveling from Toronto to the interior of British Columbia. Now, normally that would be one flight or at most two. Why three? Well, much reduced service. Okay, so it's a long, grueling day to begin with. I get on my first plane. Oh, yeah, I'm at the airport. I'm at security. You have to wear a mask. Why? Oh, well, you can't go through without a mask. I said, well, listen, I've spent $1,500 on this ticket. I think that says I do get the plane. You don't board a plane. Yeah, and give any one of these little ponced up goons a bit of power, and they start wanting to boss you around. Well, I said, I do have a mask, as a matter of fact, and I did. And it's a mask I got. It's very hard to get, you know. I went to a hardware store, and I'd been given the bright idea that ask for a mask that you would use for spray painting. Okay. So I hold out this mask. I put it on, and I could hardly breathe. So I took it off. I thought, I've got to be very careful what I say. If I say I can't breathe, then they might think, oh, he's got the Wuhan flu. So don't let him board. Well, an employee came up and gave me a much lighter, you know, slip-on mask. So I put that on, and I went through security, letting them know I did not think much of this, pushing us around. And then I got to the gate. And as I board the plane, oh yeah, this is funny. I was talking to an employee who assisted me. I got on the plane, then I heard somebody practically screeching with outrage. How did he get on the plane? He wasn't wearing a mask. Well, as a matter of fact, I had my mask, but I had the mask the airlines had given me. So I put it on. Where we're told on the plane, as you know, in the long list of instructions as we're about to take off, that we must wear the mask covering our nose and our mouth at all times, I guess, except when you're drinking or eating. Well, can't eat because they won't give you any food. Drink, well, they do give you a bottle of water. Along with the other rules, no smoking, no vaping. And you cannot bring your own liquor aboard the plane. Well, why not? Well, I'm sure it's a rule. Why can't you? They won't serve us liquor. Why can't we bring liquor? If you're an adult and all the rest of that stuff. Not that I had any. Not that I wanted any. It's just endlessly needling you with more restrictions. So we take off. And the steward comes around, I guess, and he's wearing a mask and gloves and all that. I ask him, do you have any newspapers? No newspapers. Why not, I said. I got no answer. Well, about tea or coffee? No, we're not serving anything. What are you working for? What are you doing? All you do is come around and nag people. You didn't have your seatbelt on or you've got your tray table. But what sort of job is that? What will they even need the people for? They're not serving us. Well, actually, they bring you around a bottle of water. Well, on some flights I've been on, they give you a bottle of water as you get on the plane. No tea, no coffee. You can't eat. If you brought your own drink, you can't drink it. Your own liquor. And so you're sitting there with all these restrictions and non-service, did they reduce the fare? No, not at all. And I think this will become the new normal unless consumers push back. Oh, yes, I read an article in the Thursday National Post that the airlines and the travel industry is fretting about how they're going to win people back. Well, that will be a problem. It'll be a problem for a number of reasons. Number one, it'll be a problem because a lot of people will be scared. You're going to have to convince people that air travel is relatively safe. I think a lot of people are needlessly afraid. A lot of people are scaredy cats, but okay. I mean, you've got a right to be scared if you want. Reasonably scared if you like. I mean, that's right. But I have some suggestions for the airlines. Why not start treating people better? Beginning with reducing the fares. Hey, we're treated on Air Canada flights now about the way you'd be treated on the meanest discount airlines in the world. Where we don't have to carry our own bags, but where you carry your own bags, everything is charged extra. There either is no food or you pay for everything. But the trade-off is you might be able to fly from London, England to Venice, Trieste, as I did 15 years ago for, $50 on something like Ryanair. But that's the trade-off. You get a very good deal on the fare, but don't expect any luxuries. Well, Air Canada has it both ways. You don't get any service, and you still pay an outrageous fare. Okay, well, I haven't yet left Toronto, kind of. I'm in Toronto, I ask after I get through security, about the Maple Leaf Lounge. That's where those of us who are frequent flyers get to go and get a newspaper, tea and coffee. If it's breakfast time, maybe something like scrambled eggs and a bit of jam and that type of thing. Oh, they're closed. It's closed. Why? Well, coronavirus. But that doesn't tell me anything. Do the birds chirp in the morning because it's the coronavirus, or they don't chirp in the morning because of the coronavirus? Don't tell me anything. In fact, I said to the, in this case, quite sympathetic employee, I said, well, look, the concern, one of the concerns is people in an airport, all, you know, kind of grouping together at the gate and that type of thing. Now, that may not be much of a concern right now, because the three airports I went through yesterday, you could have let off hand grenades in there and probably not hurt any, many people. But, you know, the theory is to, you know, reduce crowding as much as possible. Well, the airport lounges bring some of the frequent flyers, frequent flying passengers together. And again, you know, they're usually fairly large, so you don't have to be, it's also you're on top of one another. And of course, you can, people can be urged to, you know, keep that 6 foot distance. And more than that, or at least equally important to that, is the fact that it would give employment to the regular staff that work there. Where are they now? They're unemployed.
Oh boy, that really showed them.
That is stupid. And it's worth challenging, and I challenged it at each airport I went to yesterday. Yeah, I know, I already heard the party line. But, I think people should push back. Push back big time. Because a lot of the rules don't make any sense. In fact, the whole shutdown in general is not working and doesn't make much sense. In very targeted areas, it might make some sense. But as a generality, it's cruel, an unusual punishment of everybody, the traveling public and the unemployed employees. Let me think, what else? Oh, yes. Well, now, this wasn't a personal experience. I'm beginning to think I'm sounding like the Irishman who goes into every bar with his friend, and he sees a fight, and he says, let's get in on this, Seamus. And his buddy says, but which side are we on? He says, I don't care. But I really do think, I'm all kidding aside, that it's my duty, it's your duty as a citizen. If you care about freedom, if you don't care about freedom, whatever, be a sheep. I was saying that this afternoon in a sheep line outside of a bank. I said to the guy ahead of me, there's lots of room in the bank. I think they were limiting us to 4 people in the bank. It's a big bank. You could easily have 15 people in there, keeping a 6 foot distance, of course. Well, why do we have to stand outside? Who knows? The rules. And some very self-important little East Indian was telling us how to line up, because, of course, you've got a line in front of the bank, and then it stretches into the edge of the parking lot back and forth. So you've got 20 people. Well, he's showing us who is next and where you put your feet. you only miss lining up in the Soviet Union. So I'm saying to the guy ahead of me, I don't get it. Why? There's room in the bank. Keeping in mind, the 6 foot distancing. Oh, I don't know. I said, I don't want to be a sheep. And the problem with being a sheep is you better not be surprised when you end up as lamb chops. I don't like it as an adult being made to line up in general, unless there is no other option. And my strong advice is, push back. Don't put up with this bullshit. This is not an incident within my experience, but I've read about it, heard about it. It's an outrage. There, in Ottawa, they are not allowing the relatives and friends of people who are in these horrible extended care places now to gather around a window and be able to wave at their very sick, in some cases dying, relative or friend. Why? Because some of them were bunching together, so not allowed. So you cannot even see, at least in Ottawa, or at least in Ottawa, the city-run extended care facilities, you cannot even see your dying or very ill relative. Talk about cruelty and inhumanity. The attitude was, well, some people were violating the 6-foot rule, so we'll show you, we'll cut you all off. I don't think adults should have to put up with this. I don't think free men and women should put up with this. I'd like them to see them storm city council. I won't say anymore. I think we've got to push back and say, get off our backs, you tyrants, and how dare you treat us like children. If somebody is indeed encroaching on the 6-foot rule, why not deal with them? Why not say, hey, come on, you've got to step back a bit. Why not? Why must everything be, well, somebody offended, so we're going to cut it all off. That's not the way free men and women should be treated. Nor should we put up with that. I believe absolutely that enough's enough. Well, I'm very happy that there's this weekend in Toronto and Vancouver, and I hope a lot of other cities across this great dominion, as in the United States, there will be protests. End the lockdown protests. Protests demanding freedom and an end to tyranny. Well, of course, you know, when you take a leadership role like my friend Brian Rue, the videographer in Vancouver, has done, you get threatened. And here's a report that Brian has done about the last few weeks and some of the threats by the Antifa and others that have come his way. This is Brian Rue.
For 2020, I'm on the Vancouver Antifa Facebook page. And they've issued some threats about me, or they say veiled threats. I just want to show that to you here. Antifa, Vancouver, BC, give Nazis a platform. Well, that says it all right there. So scrolling up here. Someone tells a story here. True Seeker at She Who Rises. She writes, I just saw someone punch a Nazi in the face. It was glorious. Young man was moving his belongings into an apartment and was carrying a gigantic picture of a red and white swastika into the building. A 7-ish man came out of nowhere running at high speed and sucker punched him. This was on April 18th. She posted this. The young guy fell over and the swastika picture got a hole in it. He was bleeding from his ear, as it was a side punch and very hard. The old guy told him he was a piece of Nazi scum shit and literally walked slowly away without a fear in the world. Very self-righteous, eh? The young guy yelled, if I didn't have a warrant out on me, I'd call the cops on your ass. So this is probably fake. They're saying that all of us National Socialists are wanted by the police. The old man flicked him the bird and came back and spit on the swastika. It all happened so fast. My phone is inside, so I cannot record it. This could be a lie. It's only defamatory. But look what someone on Antifa Vancouver wrote at the top. I guess it's a moderator since. No.
This is Brian Rue.
They're representing Vancouver Antifa, and this was on April 20th, which is Hitler's birthday. They write here. I would have done the same if I had been wearing a mask when I saw Brian Rue downtown a couple weeks ago. By the way, son of a bitch, if I do have to see...
I'm sorry for the... we have very poor internet connection up here, so this is unfortunately a little bit choppy.
Again, I always wear a mask now, so do all of my friends. So that's a veiled threat that he's going to punch me out or straight out threat. I've already been in touch with the police about this then something, then they right here, punch early, punch often. Now read this guy, Bob Chipman. He states, there can be no unprovoked violence against the Nazis. The sole aim and focus of their philosophical existence is violence. If you take up that identity, you've already declared violent intent. Anything done in response is just varying levels on self-defense. Oh, so you're fully justified for violence. I mean, this is worthy of refutation. It's so ridiculous. Then I make a comment here with a link to my website.
Again, I must apologize for the
Trump right here. I'm an amateur historian. I'm interested in National Socialist Germany. I believe we can lie to about that and most major events. But I have many, many other interests. My top four priorities are posted at the homepage of my website. I get there. To say that I'm a violent dangerous Nazi is so ridiculous that it's unworthy of refutation. I think.
Again, I must apologize.
I think what Antifa fears the most about me is that I want to convert their own members to join the Brian Russo group. Then there's a link to my website with my recent photo. Home, top four priorities, Canada's highest speaker of truth. So check. Check out my homepage, folks. And then there's a comment here. COVID-19 protesters, just like Rosa Parks, says White House advisor Stephen Moore. Then,
well, they didn't like that, I bet.
Antifa Vancouver comments on that, saying, you have to be a special kind of stupid to compare Rosa Parks to Nazi scum. And I comment below that stating, I think COVID-19 has to be taken seriously, but I think we're being lied to about it, and the government and media are going over the top. Why are they shutting down our economy and hurting workers and the poor the most? The communists. Should march and protest with us if they believe workers of the world should unite. Let's see, we're having a protest this Sunday. Let's see how many march with us. Maybe they can prove me wrong. I don't think any of them will. This is run by member of the Legislative Assembly, this fellow, that means an MLA. His name is here, Spencer Chantra Herbert. He's gay, he has a husband, and they have a child, so very much on the left, obviously. And this is a poster for upcoming upcoming March, this coming Sunday. And this is what he writes here. He states, this is 5 hours ago in the West End Journal. We hesitate to post this because we're reluctant to give them any more publicity. There may be neighbors. Have not yet heard that these COVID-19 deniers, first time I heard this, COVID-19 deniers like Holocaust deniers or climate change deniers a group which includes several flat earthers, I don't think so, Holocaust deniers, so they're definitely referring to me here. Another conspiracy theorist, of course that's a derogatory term, people's study real conspiracies, conspiracy realists are called conspiracy theorists, states. Recently picketed City Hall are coming to Demena Beach. We've been unable to confirm their march route plans. So the best advice is to stay home and stay safe. The sun the afternoon. This stupid is powerful these days, people. Okay, that's an editorial comment. So sue me. And there's our poster. So carrying on here. He's got 127 comments. This is his comment yesterday. A group of COVID-19 deniers have announced plans for March of Sunday, beginning English Bay Cactus Club, who I'm sure won't thank them for the publicity. And our MLA, Spencer Chandra Herbert, posted this in response. The West End Journal has reached out to the organizers to ask what the proposed march route will be so we can avoid it, but no response so far. Stay tuned. So, he writes here. He states, in times of crisis, there always be those who attempt to shine the light on themselves, to take advantage of others' fears, and spread their own uninformed conspiracy theories. It's disgusting, but always the way. So really, he has a monopoly on truth, I guess, very self-righteous. Also states, the event planned for English Bay is one such event organized by people connected to Holocaust deniers. I've alerted the Ministry of Public Safety for their information. Reach out to the Vancouver police. The other responsibility for enforcing orders. I don't want our community safety threatened by selfish people who won't do their part to stop COVID-19. Well, our organizer, Susan Stanfield Spooner, leader, we discussed this very thing on the phone, what he wrote here, and she said,
We hope to have later this weekend more reports on those protests. This is Paul Fromm. You are on the fighting side of me here on alt-righttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. I'm going to play some good old country and western music. Here's a great one by the Possum, George Jones. Who's going to fill their shoes. A very thoughtful piece about country and western music. It's always evolving and changing. This is George Jones.
Carrying there, pal?
George Jones.
You mean the pan? George must fly everywhere.
Nope. It's George's trip. We're heading home.
We don't see nobody since the interstate opened. Do you think he might somehow get to us?
He's awake in there. Holler at him.
Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones?
Yeah. Hey, old Hammond. What do you know?
Would you sign my guitar? A few others have.
I sure will.
Great. Just a second.
Oh, my goodness. Would you look at this? Waylon, Hank, Lefty, Willie. Where in the world did you get this?
They were all right here. This used to be the main highway. We just got lucky a few years, I guess.
Well, my goodness. What else you got?
Come on in.
Oh, all right.
You know, this old world is full of singers, but just a few are chosen.
To tear your heart out, they sing.
Imagine life without it. All your radio here.
Like the outlaw that walks through Jesse's dream.
No, there'll never be another
red-headed stranger, a man in black and Folsom prison blue.
They'll keep falling the score. Or hello, darling.
Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand back tall?
Who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you?
Lord, I wonder
who's gonna fill their shoes?
God bless the boys.
Blue suede shoes and Elvis, much too soon he left this world in tears.
They tore up the 50s,
old Jerry and Charlie, Angle Cackle still echoes through the years.
You know the heart of country music still beats.
You can tell it when he sang, I saw the light.
Oh, feeling right here with me on this silver eagle rolling through the night.
I don't think you'd believe it, Dave. I just don't think you would. Thank you.
Yeah.